Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
Slowly, slow my chair. The world waits for you, and your window of time will come shining through. Slowly, slow, don't rush, you know. It'll all come easy. There's some things you can't take back. No regrets for what you're gonna get. Need some thinking down the line. Slowly, slow, my darling. I'm here for you.
Here for you.
And every stumble, every fall breaks my heart in two. I only want the best for you. And every step makes up the man, even though it takes a while. And God will always smile on you, my child. So have faith.
Have faith, and that's how I'd like to start off this beautiful Saturday morning. You're welcome to Everyday Muslim Live on WFM 91.7. My name is Amina Adams. I'll be the one in driver's seat today. Everyday Muslim comes your way every Saturday morning from 11 all the way to noon. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be looking at a topic that concerns us. Either we are currently in that phase, or we've gone through that phase, or we're looking forward to getting into that phase. Muslim youth and the future of the Ummah. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be talking to Barrister Farouk Olaiwaju Abbas. He's been on the show in the past, but he's one that will walk us through. He's the MD, managing partner of Abdusalam Abbas and Co. He specializes in commercial litigation, labor and employment law, property law, debt recovery, alternative dispute resolution, data protection, and family law. He appears regularly at different levels of the court system here in Nigeria, and some of the lawsuits which he hasn't been involved in. He is an accredited trademark agent, a member of the Society for Corporate Governance here in Nigeria, Chartered Institute of Arbitrators in UK. He is with the Nigerian branch. He's also a member of Lagos Court of Arbitration, LCA, ICC Young Arbitrators Forum, YAF, and the Young ICCA, that's the International Council for Commercial Arbitration. He was appointed as a notary public for Nigeria in October 2022. Barrister Farouk is the Assistant General Secretary of Ejigbo Eagles Club. All you Ejigbo Lagosians, don't get excited. It's not your Ejigbo. I also got excited for a brief moment, but he corrected me and said it's not the Ejigbo here that we were copycats. Anyways, so he's the Assistant General Secretary of the Ejigbo Eagles Club, and he participates actively in the community development programs of that club. He has also appeared on different television and radio stations across Nigeria, where he discusses various political, social, and legal topics. He's an avid chess player, and he enjoys reading the autobiographies and biographies of successful business and political leaders. Hopefully, he'll read mine soon. Well, have you read mine? All right, you're welcome to the show. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
Same here. It's a pleasure to have you. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So, like I did say, we're going to be looking at Muslim youth and the future of the Ummah. So in your view, what is the role of Muslim youth in shaping the future of the Ummah, and how can they become active contributors to the global Islamic community? So basically, we hope that youth are listening. So if you're just tuning in, WFM 91.7, daddies, mommies, uncles and aunts, please get your nieces and nephews, your daughters, your sons to tune in to WFM. This is for them. Hopefully they get to learn one or two things to become better, better contributors to the Ummah. So, like I did ask, you know, what do you think, in your view, is the role of the youth in shaping the future of the Ummah, and how can they become active contributors to the global Islamic community?
Thank you very much for your question, and it's a pleasure to be here once again. You know, the role of the youth in the Muslim Ummah is very important. The role of the youth in any community is very important worldwide, regardless of the religion, and in Islam is particularly important. And we see this from various verses of the Holy Quran, various stories of the Holy Quran, and stories of the prophets that we have. And I'll just cite one or two before coming down locally to talk about how relevant the impact of the youth is in Nigeria. Regarding the Holy Quran, you'll recall that in Surah Al-Kahf, there is a story there about some youths who left their environment in order to escape from the misdeeds in the environment, and they went into a cave, and the Almighty Allah preserved their lives so they could come back later to reform the society. So it shows that the youth play an active role in reforming the society. And there's also a saying of a prophet which says that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which says that youths should be careful about how they spend their time, their youthful age. They are human beings. On the day of judgment day, one of the questions they will ask you is, how did you spend your youthful age? You know, so this shows that youth have a very significant role to play. If you look at all the countries worldwide, you'll see that most of their leaders took the reins of power at a very young age. So in Nigeria, youth have a very, very fundamental role to play in terms of reforming the society. And how can we achieve this role? Unfortunately, the reason why the youth in Nigeria have not played any significant role is because our priorities have changed. We don't pursue knowledge anymore. We want quick fix. We want instant noodles approach, because all the social media, cooking noodles, sending message immediately, ordering for something on Gokada, within 10 minutes, they deliver it to you. So we believe that success in life is also instant. So we don't search for knowledge. Everybody wants to be a Yahoo boy, entertainer, looking for quick money. So we've deviated from the path of knowledge. And when you deviate from the path of knowledge, you don't have respect. People don't value you. People don't see you as being admirable. So the people in the society don't look for youth to put into positions of authority, because most of us are pursuing the wrong values. So in summary, before we can take charge of contributing to the development of the Ummah and the country, we must go back to the path of knowledge. As Muslim youths, number one, we need to have more knowledge about our religion, Islam. Unfortunately for a lot of Muslim youths, unlike Christian youths know the Bible very well. They study the Bible, they quote the Bible for you, but it's very rare for you to see Muslim youths who understand the Quran, who know the Hadith, who read books on Islam. So we have a debt of knowledge in the religion. And if you have a debt of knowledge in the religion, you can make an impact in a religion that you don't know anything about. Mm. So number one, go back to look for knowledge about your religion. And like Chief Abafemi Olawo also said, if you want to be a leader in your society, you must be heavy. If you are a carpenter, you must be knowledgeable as a carpenter. If you are a doctor, you must be extremely knowledgeable. When you are very solid in your career, regardless of your religion, people will reckon with you and they will put you in position of authority. But unfortunately for us in Nigeria, we don't have a lot of youth who have projected themselves as being knowledgeable either in the religion or in worldly affairs. Therefore, we are at the background. Mm. We have the numbers in terms of voting. We have the numbers everywhere. If you look at statistics, they tell you Nigeria is a consumer nation. We have a vibrant population. That's why Canada is poaching Nigerians. All these Western countries are coming to Nigeria to take our youth because we have the population. But unfortunately, we don't have an educated population. Mm. So in summary, I believe that if we pursue knowledge, because knowledge gives power, anybody who is knowledgeable cannot be enslaved. But unfortunately, majority of us Nigerians, majority of us youth, we have been enslaved by DSTV, by Netflix, by all this social media stuff, because we don't pursue knowledge. So if we want to contribute to development of the Ummah, development of the country, we need to go back to the path of knowledge.
So interesting. Yeah, so interesting that, you know, all through, what you have identified is ignorance is the watchword for the current day youth. We have moved away from the path of knowledge.
Yes.
So apart from this dearth of knowledge, what are some other pressing challenges that you reckon the Muslim youth face today, and what practical steps can we take to overcome these obstacles? I'm putting myself in the youth bracket. If you know my real age, Oga Parkwell, I'm a youth for now, right? So what practical steps can we take to overcome these obstacles while remaining true to our faith? And I see this from the perspective, I mean, even though education is quite, it sums it all up, because it cuts across. I'm glad you mentioned, when you talked about career, you put in the front line carpenters, electricians, and all of that. And to be honest with you, that's where you find your car breakdown a mechanic touches it, and for the next 1 month, your car has visited the mechanic workshop 7-8 times just because they are not working with knowledge. They're actually doing a guesswork thing. They won't spend enough time in their workshops to learn before they get, you know, freedom. So apart from this knowledge issue that we've identified, what other pressing challenges do you reckon the Muslim youth face today?
Okay, another pressing challenge the Muslim youth faces, you know, back in the days when Islam started, you know, Islam could not thrive in Makkah because Makkah was a polytheist environment.
Right.
So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received a revelation that he should move to Medina.
Right.
And when they got to Medina, Medina was a conducive environment and Islam could thrive in Medina. And when they gathered momentum and gathered strength, we were able to go to different
spread
parts of the country. So one of the fundamental challenges that the youth face now, both in Nigeria and all over the world, is we don't have a conducive environment.
Mm.
There is a form of Islamophobia. Mm. People don't understand Islam very well, and the environment does not encourage you to be a true Muslim. Because when Islam says lower your gaze, but now even when you lower your gaze, you see all sorts of rubbish.
Mm.
Even when you don't want to go to pornography websites, you put on your phone.
It jumps on you.
So you cannot avoid anywhere you go. You see all sorts of bullshit. Pardon my choice of word. You see all sorts of, you know. So if you are not
obscenities.
Yeah, if you are not mentally strong and you don't have good background and you don't have good friends around you, it is very easy for you to fall by the wayside. Back in the days, our parents say it's a community that raises a child. Now it's not a community. I don't even see my neighbors. I can't remember the last time I saw my neighbors. Everybody keeps to themselves. So everybody is staying indoor, and social media. The average Nigerian, I know we don't check our data. Most of us don't check our screen time to see how many hours we spend on the phone. But I'm ready to bet my money on it and bet stake, though betting is not part of Islam, but just to show that I'm cocksure that I'll be making my point that averagely of 7 hours per day on social media. And if you ask all these same Nigerians, all these same youth, how many hours do you spend reading the Quran? How many hours do you spend developing yourself? I'm sure
to make a habit of reading one verse is tough.
Yes,
it's a tough call. That's just few seconds.
Yes, so the environment, the environment plays a very, very bad role in making it difficult for you to play the role of a Muslim, then you must fortify yourself internally. We must be prepared for it and say, or even within the environment, let's look for where we can go that will promote our Islam. Some parents use their money to buy problems for their children.
Mm.
They take their children to schools or environments where the children cannot survive, where the children cannot thrive, and where the children start comparing themselves to other children. And before you know what's happening, they fall along the wayside. So it's as if you're using your money to buy problems for yourself. So number one is that we have to look at the environment. How can we create an enabling environment for ourselves? If we know we live in a toxic environment where there are so many obscenity and bad things, within that same environment, let's look for how to look for the Muslims. In a lot of estates, I live in an estate, we have a small Muslim mosque. When we go to pray, we have people. Our imam gives us lectures, we bond, we network amongst ourselves. So within my environment, I've been able to create a small circle. So if my children want to have friends, I would rather they play with those children among that place.
So you're already familiar with,
yes,
you already,
yes,
know,
yes,
their,
so
parents.
We have to be deliberate in cultivating our environment, because all these social media, all these technology companies, they want to keep us hooked on social media, they want to keep us hooked on technology. So if you don't deliberately carve a nice and enduring environment for yourself, you are going to fall by the wayside. So apart from knowledge, we have to create a conducive environment for ourselves. After creating a conducive environment for ourselves, we also have to engage in mentoring. The average youth today does not believe in mentoring. We believe because you have AI and you have an internet, you can go to Google and go and ask Google a question. I read a report in New York Times recently where a boy was chatting with a chatbot on AI and he committed suicide, and the chatbot was his friend.
Mm.
And they said that there are a lot of apps in America now, AI companies, that human beings prefer to chat with them than chatting with human beings. And when I saw it, I was almost going crazy. How is this possible? Why would I want to be chatting with a chatbot? I have so many people, so many wise people around me that I can interact with. So the youth shouldn't see themselves as, I know it all. I can go on Google. I can read this story. My father is telling me old school. My mother does not know what she's saying. They are not Generation Z. They are not technology driven. No, we need to pursue mentoring. And when you have a mentor, you must be willing to serve. The average youth today, when you have a mentor, you don't want them, they can't even send you on a small errand. Some youth will come and spend time in your house. They cannot even wash plates. They cannot even do anything. They cannot even add value to the house. So you see that our priorities are different. Another thing we need to do apart from having mentoring is we need to have a spirit of service. In Nigeria, we don't have a spirit of service.
Oh.
Everybody just wants myself, myself, myself. You see somebody is calling himself a wealthy man. He builds his house. His neighbors are hungry. His family members are hungry. And he's feeling comfortable driving a Mercedes Benz. I don't know how people reason in this country, you know. So we have to have a life of service. We have to be willing to give. When you give to your community, eventually you get back. It might take time, but when you give, you will definitely get back. So if you have a life of service, if you have good mentors around you, if you cultivate a good environment, and you invest in knowledge. I'm not saying don't use social media. Social media is here to stay. We can't be Luddites. I use social media, but we must use it constructively. I have time limit on my phone. Mm-hmm. Even with all my time limit, I still exceed my time limit.
I'm a living witness to that.
But people even say control. I'm an extremist that when it comes to social media, that I don't chat with people, I don't do all. So I reduce, you know, reduce. So when we do all these things, it's only a matter of time. And we must support ourselves. So someone like me now, I deliberately cultivate and look for relationships that I can have. Quality relationships. When you can't add value to me, I will not talk to you. I don't have friends that don't add value to me. You call me, I won't take your call. I won't chat with you. I see you when I want to see you. You know, so we have to be deliberate and we have to be strategic, because all these social media technology companies, they are being deliberate in coming to us. They will say pay for one. By the time you watch one movie on Netflix, before you finish that movie,
they're already suggesting another one.
On YouTube, before you finish that one, and you can spend your entire life watching videos on YouTube. So you must be deliberate and say, I'm coming to use social media to promote myself, to promote my business, to promote good habits, to talk about good things, and I will go out. I'm not going to be consuming rubbish that is on social media. Mm. So we have to be deliberate and we have to be strategic.
Interesting. I want to take you back very quickly when you mentioned the fact that we are not service oriented, but we used to be. We used to be in the olden days. We used to be a community where everyone was a parent, all the kids on that street. We used to be community based, community driven, you know. We used to eat together.
Yeah.
A child comes to your house, you're certain that, you know, we eat from the same plate. So how did that value get eroded? Where did we lose touch with that particular value? Because that is of essence.
Yes.
To bring it back. If we know where we lost it, we can go trace our steps and then try to find.
Yes, I think where we lost it is in trying to be Western culture. Because, you know, Western culture thrives on. Because, you know, before you can attack somebody as a strategist, before you can attack somebody, you must isolate them from their support system. So people, if you see narcissists who are married or who like to take over people's lives, the first thing they do is they cut your support. They say, don't go and see your family members, don't have any friend anymore, be alone. So when they are alone, they now start telling you rubbish. So Western culture wants us to be alone. So that all this Amazon shopping online, they want your life to be on technology. So it's a strategic attempt to transport us to technology. They want us to be dependent. Because if we are together, nobody will have time for phones. But now you see people when they are today. When
even together.
Yes, I have a guest in my house today. I was having breakfast with my guest and my son, my 7-year-old son, and my phone was beside me. And my guest received the phone call, and I was about to take my own phone. My son now said, "Daddy, no screen time on the dining table." If he didn't mention it, my
guest was going to pick your phone.
Pick up my phone. Do you understand? So now you see people when they gather together, all of us are on our phones.
Absolutely.
So now they are not promoting us coming together, because if we are together, technology won't sell. But if we're isolated, you will be staying at home using technology and all that. So what is happening is that we are following Western culture. And we shouldn't follow Western. Even Islam says that you can follow your culture so long as it doesn't go against Islam. And Islamic culture is you eat together. When you go to the mosque and pray Fajr together, you pray Zuhr together, it's encouraging coming together. You're saying when you pray together, you will see people who need something, you see people who are hungry. So if you go back to the teachings of our Islam, it still goes back to knowledge of our religion. Because if you know knowledge of a religion, Islam says when you are eating, make sure your neighbors are comfortable. But me, my neighbors are comfortable. But I know my security guards of my neighbors are not comfortable. So every week I try to give them something. If we go back to that communal lifestyle, whenever I go out, even when my children are going out without me being around, they will look out for the children. Yesterday, one of the police officers saw me and asked me, yesterday we saw you, your children going to mosque, we asked after you. I mean, I was sleeping, but they thought I had gone to the mosque, and they went to the mosque. You know, so they asked, so there's that communality, because, and why they went to concern is because I extend hand of fellowship to them. So we need to go back to what Islam teaches us. Islam says, eat, you go to pray, eat together, you show your numbers, you stay in the mosque, you eat together, you do celebrate together, you do things together, you know, you do your nikah, you do all those things. So we need to invite ourselves, that jama that Islam preaches, we need to go back to it. But when you have someone that doesn't go to the mosque to go and pray, how will he want to do anything communally with his people? So once in a while, you should invite people to come to your house, eat with them, play with them, let them know your children. But Westernization is against all this. If you travel abroad, I travel abroad once in a while, you see most of them stay in their house from morning to night. Apart from office, they don't even go to fun places. They don't even go to restaurants.
It's a robotic lifestyle.
Yes, they don't
just go to restaurants. You know, very triangle.
And that's why you see them making noise on social media, complaining Nigeria is bad, because they don't have anything they are doing abroad. So the only thing they can do is to come and be abusing Nigeria, instead of them to come back to Nigeria and contribute to the development of the country. So we need to go back to the communal living that Islam preaches. If we go back to that, then we are going to make a lot of progress. We'll be able to know each other. We'll be able to support each other. We'll be able to promote each other. And we'll be able to learn, more importantly, learn from each other.
I like the line of thought that you've introduced, because my next question, I want to be as practical as possible. How can these young Muslims maintain a strong connection to their religious identity while navigating the pressures of modern society, particularly in an environment like ours where it's multicultural? In fact, we're boasting that it's a secular environment. In fact, that has killed religiosity for us, or spirituality as the case may be. What about now I would like to define, because now the definition is, it keeps being eroded every day. We used to be a nation of people that understood God, but now our God is on our lips, it's not in our hearts anymore, and that's why corruption is thriving and all of that. So with our youth growing in this environment of today, how can they realistically stick to their religious values? How can they maintain that strong connection to their faith living in this kind of multiplex society?
Okay, so we can do that in many ways. You know, if you are a social media person, you see that social media is based on algorithm. Once you like something, they give you more of that.
Suggestions along that line.
So in what it shows us is that we have to be very deliberate in what we are doing. And I'll give you examples now. How do you go back to your religiosity? It's in the Quran that when you say your prayers, it takes you away from certain kind of sins. So number one is that we must consciously, if you want to rent an apartment or you want to go somewhere, you want to live, consciously look for an apartment where there is a mosque close by. You know, when it's time for prayers, even if you can't go 5 times in a day, maybe because of your work or you're not, try and go, start from one prayer and make it consistent. And when you go, a lot of mosques, they do prayer, they do programs, they are Muslim organizations. Try to go out of your way to follow them. MPAC organizing this program now is a Muslim organization. They did this program once a week. Try and watch this program. On social media too, there are some, I am on Muslim Central. There are some apps you can download. There are some scholars that you can follow on Facebook. There are friends that you can, if you have your Muslim friends, reach out more to them. You can have Christian friends as well. Islam says we should have friends, Jewish friends, and all kind of friends. But you know, your Muslim friends, try and reach out to them more. Look out for Muslim programs. And whilst you are developing yourself in this world by reading books on personal development and all this stuff, also try to read about Islam. Try, you know, just be very conscious about taking steps that have to do with Islam. And more importantly, let people know you as a Muslim. If your name is Farouk Olarenwaju Abbas, don't tell people my name is Olarenwaju Abbas. Or don't say because you are not proud of your name. Be proud of your name. Be proud of your dressing. Because if you are the most brilliant lawyer, if you are one of the brilliant lawyers in Nigeria, nobody cares about your religion. Even during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, people became Muslims based on the good qualities
character
of the Prophet and the qualities of the companions, not because of the Quran or what they were saying. You know, so by your character, by your action, you can educate people about Islam, and you can project Islam as it. And when you project Islam, when people see that this lady is behaving in a righteous manner, she's a good Muslim, I want to be her friend. Then when you're her friend, you now see she prays, she goes for Umrah, then you can learn from her. So we can embody what we live in, what all those traits of Islam, and let's look for a strong community. Because if you don't build a community, you will fall by the wayside. Nobody grows alone. So as you are growing, either is your wife, either is your children, either is your friend, bring them up and work together on that community. And let people know what you stand for. And I feel like it's very easy in our environment because everybody is going one way. Like, so if you want to go this way, you can see those that are doing it and just stay there. And when you do it, you stick.
When
I was coming in here, the security guard told someone that said, I saw one Afar that is there. And I laughed. I said, no, Afar. No, I'm not an Afar. I'm far from being an Afar. But I guess maybe because of you saw my dress and all that. So people say that all the time, this guy is an Afar. I know I'm not even close to being an Afar. I'm still a student. But maybe from the way you are seeing
identity
me,
or from
my name that I wrote on the paper, you know. So let's embrace our religion, and let's gather. Nobody is perfect. We can't be like the Prophet. No matter how, we can only continue to try. So let's follow all those things. There was Muslim Umar program in Lagos recently. People went for the program. Go for those sort of programs. Go for MPAC. Go for all those things. Attend and improve your knowledge. So it's very easy as far as I'm concerned. It's very easy as far as
when you're deliberate. It becomes easier when you're deliberate.
Of course, you must be deliberate, because if you're not deliberate, then you're going to run into problems.
Fortunately, you mentioned Islamophobia in the beginning. And I just glossed over it because I knew I was going to come back to it, because it is real. And it seems to be rising. With rising Islamophobia and misconceptions about Islam, how can this Muslim youth actively work to challenge stereotypes? And, you know, realistically speaking, they're in schools, they are faced with Islamophobia, they are at the mall, it's staring them in the face. It's all over you. Everywhere you turn your neck, there is Islamophobia right there in your face. How can they? Someone is even just managing to step out of their shell and, you know, boom, first thing they encounter is Islamophobia. Of course, they will crawl back into the shell. How can they realistically survive?
Yes, you know, Islamophobia is a very dangerous concept. And unsurprisingly, you know, it's not only Islamophobia, there are phobia. There was a time there was Jews, phobia for Jews. There are always phobia for different kind of concepts. And if there's anything that is good about history, is that you learn from history. So when you say Islamophobia, people that have that Islamophobia is because they don't have knowledge about Islam. You can say that even some Muslims contributed to it.
Absolutely,
because if as Muslims we have embodied the true teachings, pristine teachings of Islam, nobody will say they have Islamophobia. Most of the people who have Islamophobia, when you ask them, they don't know about Islam. It's ignorance. So what we need
and to... what they are fed in the media anyways.
And the media is full of crap. Part of my choice of words. Look, I went during Donald Trump's election. They were saying Donald Trump and Kamala 50-50, 70-48, 48. I knew it was all lies. It was all lies. And when the results came out,
it was very far from
so the media will tell you. So the media is a package. They are selling. It's a business. It's a product. They are selling. So we have to be very careful about what we consume. So what we the best way to fight against Islam? People talk. Some people say they don't like Igbos. They don't do this. But I tell some people. I say I have some Igbo clients, and they're one of my best clients. They're one of the best individuals. So if somebody wants to generalize, I'll say no. I know some very solid Igbos, and they are honorable men. So you don't just generalize based on a tribe or based on a religion. So if somebody says that Islamophobia, Islam is bad, if you know me, you can't say Islam is bad, because I would try my best to let you know that I live my lifestyle based on the teachings of my religion. So if we are saying we don't like Islamophobia, let us ask ourselves, what
are we doing
to contribute to change of that perspective? Most of us are not concerned about that. Most of us are not living our lives based on it. So we are playing, like politicians will say, pardon my choice of word, or Shakala and Oshokolo. You know, we are doing Shakala Shokolo. You must stay in one part, you know. So today we say we are Muslim, tomorrow we are doing this. So people will now start wondering, you're asking me for bribe. You are not even being nice to me. You are calling yourself an Afar. You can't even take care of your wife in the house. So which Islam are you even talking about, you know? So we need to contribute, because Islamophobia didn't just fall from heaven. Some people will have seen some people apart from the media. So it's those ones that we should not try to change. So if I'm my brother's keepers now, I can change one or two people. And based on those teachings, people will have a positive view about Islam. And your program too is one of the steps towards countering Islamophobia.
Yes, yes.
So people see that, okay, Islam is not saying you should not use technology, you should not use radio.
Use it wisely
to propagate the cause of. So we need to support organizations like that. And that's why whenever you invite me, I'll always be happy to come, because whether we like it or not, we are contributing to propagating message about the deen in one way or the other. So it's a duty that stands, that all of us must partake in. And if you are saying you are part of a group, you enjoy the benefit and the liability. So if the liability of the group being a member is that some people will say Islamophobia, then so be it. We must proudly own our religion. If you go to America, you see the Jews, they are so proud of their religion. They wear their hat, they dress, they don't hide. If you see the Indians, if you see the Hindu, I have clients that are Hindu in Nigeria. If you go to their office, they do all their rope on their body, they tie everything. And I'm like, they are proud of their religion. So if they are proud of it, if someone doing Hindu religions that were created by human beings are proud of their religion, why shouldn't we be proud of our religion? So if Islamophobia will come with it, I don't give a damn. Yeah, I'll leave. And if you challenge me, I'll challenge you back. You know, so I'm not worried about Islamophobia, because I know what I stand for. And if anybody brings it to me, I give it back to them. But unfortunately, a lot of us don't have knowledge. So when people say Islamophobia and challenge them, they can't even defend.
True.
They can't even correct them. If you see Jehovah's Witness people, when you engage them and you tell them that, they want to convert you. So I like to engage them in discussions, because they know so much about their religion, and I like their teachings. They write about technology. They write based on science and some things that I like to read about. But I tell them, I like to read some of the stuff you guys push out, but forget about it. You can't convert me. Well, you know, they can come to your house. If they see that you are a Muslim, you are praying, they can wait for you and preach to you. So that confidence that they have, we must also... And the confidence is based on knowledge. But unfortunately, we don't have that confidence, because a lot of us don't have the knowledge.
Yeah, right.
And the foundation of all what I'm talking about is knowledge. Once we have this knowledge, we are going to be able to thrive in any sector.
And I think you've set the pace and the foundation for my next question, but I'm going to let us grab a break, and we're going to go on a break before you answer it. But let me just set the tone. What qualities should young Muslims develop today to become effective leaders who can drive positive change for the Ummah in the future? So we are going to be giving them live tips on how to prepare for this future, because they are the leaders, whether they are prepared for it or not. So just so it doesn't happen on them, so that we can actively groom them for that leadership role. We'll go on a quick break. When we come back, there's more to come on Everyday Muslim. Stay with us.
Slowly, slow my chair. The world waits for you. And your window of time will come shining through. Slowly, slow, don't rush, you know. It'll all come easy. There's some things you can't take back. No regrets for what you're gonna get. Need some thinking down the line. Slowly, slow, my darling, I'm here for you. And every stumble, every fall breaks my heart in two. I only want the best for you. And every step makes up the man, even though it takes a while. And God will always smile on you, my child. So have faith. Feels the sun and sings before the dawn has come. Have faith, have faith, yeah. Slowly, slow, my boy, I see you strong. And everybody wants to find a place where they belong. But don't you find yourself someday in a cold and dark and lonely place, and you wonder how you got there. I know it gets cluttered in your mind, and you wanna move faster. It seems you're running out of time. But I love you, together we'll get through. Slowly, slow, my son, you wanna be a man. And I guess those days are gone when I used to hold your hand. Cause this is the age of winks and smiles and butterflies deep inside. But you'll always be the coolness of my eyes. So have faith. And sings before the dawn has come. Have faith, have faith, yeah, yeah.
You're welcome back. If you're just joining us, it is Everyday Muslim Live on WFM 91.7. And you listen to that song from Zain Bika. He calls it Slowly Slow, and it's dedicated to all of our youth, current youth, upcoming youth. Take it slow, you know, there's no rush, there's no hurry. You will only run your own race. You will only act out your own script that has been written and designed by your creator. So don't, you know, compare yourself with anyone around you. Don't make it about the people around you. Just face your own lane. Take it slow. And that's what will lead me to the question that I asked. But before then, let me quickly open the phone line so you listening can be a part of the show. It's 07000 917 917, 07000 917 917 is number to call to be a part of the show. You can send us SMS or WhatsApp to 07031756537. Barrister Farouk is still here. He's the one taking us through how to build this youth for tomorrow's leadership, and that's where we're at now. How? What kind of qualities? What should we? What ingredients do they need now to become those leaders?
Yeah, you know, the concept of qualities is universal. Mm-hmm. So regardless of religion, is a universal concept that anybody who has those qualities is bound to. Is bound to.
Okay. Hello. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. You're welcome to Everyday Muslim. Your name and where you're calling from.
My name is.
Can you speak up a bit? I know. I heard you, but I didn't hear your name. Can you come again? Your name and where you're calling from. It's a house of kiddies. Okay, try to call back 07000917917. You are the one we're here for. It's because of you that we are here. So I would really love to hear from you. Right, Barrister Farouk.
Okay, so as I was saying, I said it's a universal concept, and number one is you have to have knowledge. You know, I keep on talking about knowledge because I'm not just talking about knowledge about your religion alone. I'm talking about knowledge generally.
Being aware,
you must consciously search for knowledge. Every day you must take a step towards looking for knowledge. So you must have books that you are reading, you must have podcasts that you are listening to, you must have videos you watch on Instagram, on YouTube, you must have smart people who you talk to for knowledge. Once you are knowledgeable, you stick out like a sore thumb and people want to affiliate, associate themselves with you. You also need to be hardworking.
Right. Hello, good morning. Assalamu alaikum. Okay. The network is not behaving itself this morning, so I'm giving a warning to all you network providers. Behave yourself. Let my calls come through in peace. Let peace reign. Right, Barrister Farouk.
So you need to be hardworking, you know. There's a rule called the 10,000 hours rule. You know, you must have invested about 10,000 hours in any profession before you can start thinking of getting the benefit of being regarded as an expert. So yes, there's a rule called, it's called the 10,000 hours rule. Like if you haven't put in, they did a general research of top people in various fields, swimming, sports, different kind of profession, and they found that the common trend amongst all of them is that they've invested 10,000 hours. But the problem is that a lot of people don't know. They don't see the success. Oh, I can see Ronaldo, such a good footballer. I can see this person speaking so well, speaking so eloquently, he can swim so well, but the person won't tell you. They don't know what that person goes through. Most of us just say, oh, how, we don't ask, how did you really achieve this? How did you get to this level where you get to?
We
just want to be that status. People say, I want to be this kind of person, but you don't know the kind of hard work that the person has put in through. So you must be willing to have that staying power for hard work. You must also have integrity, because a lot of people don't have integrity in Nigeria. Integrity is so cheap. I went for a transaction yesterday. My clients are based in the UK. They wanted me to collect title documents because the husband died and his children are abroad, the wife is abroad. And the lawyers said I should come and pick up the documents. But the children and the wife are the administrators, and they gave me an instrument appointing me. They have sent an email, they have sent their ID. And when we got to the meeting, the lawyer said she wants to record the meeting. I said, okay, I don't have any problem recording. Even while we were there, she now said, I should call my client again. You want to talk to the client? I'm like, where were we going to? What's the meaning of all this? So there's no trust anymore because I told my clients that I understand what is going on. Don't be angry that we have to call you, because there's no trust. People don't have integrity anymore, you know. So integrity is very, very lacking. In Nigeria today, if you have integrity, even if you are not competent, you are still likely to thrive, because integrity is missing everywhere. So if you have integrity, you are hardworking, and you have knowledge, you also have to develop your soft skills. That's another problem a lot of Muslims have. You hide under the cave. You say you are a Muslim, you know this whole thing, and nobody knows you. If nobody knows you, how can you influence somebody when nobody knows you? You can't sit down under the cave. Even Prophet Yusuf, when he was in jail, was he the one that was in jail?
Yes.
He told the prisoner that when you get to the king, tell the king about me. I'm very good at this. He marketed himself. So you can't call yourself a professional and you don't talk about what you do. You don't post about what you do. You call yourself a scholar. You don't even write articles about Islam. You don't even go for Muslim programs. You are not on any panel. You say you are doing the people that stay in the house and don't see the sun. They don't go out. You know, you just lock yourself somewhere.
Nobody. Halwa,
whatever it's called. You know that. Kind of thing. So you must have social skills, because now people focus on IQ. We don't focus on EQ, emotional quotient. So we need to develop that social skills, because when it gets to a particular level, mid-size manager, you need competence to get to that level. But when you're talking about MD, executive director, you need soft skills. Even if you are competent, if you don't have the skills on how to deal with
human relationships,
how to manage people, you are not going to survive. So you need to cultivate these skills. So if you know how to work as a team and you have integrity, and of course, more importantly, we are in this world to serve Allah. Anybody can die at any point in time.
True.
So don't just chase success in this world that you want to be the MD of a radio station, you want to be the MD of a bank, but you're not working for your hereafter. When you die, you are going to spend more time in the grave than you're going to spend on earth. So when you hold on to Allah, you do your work, you have knowledge, that principle can be applied to any field. Even if you are a tailor, if you embody these principles, people will know that this tailor has integrity.
Right.
Even if she says, my brother is 500,000 naira, I will pay, because I know she will deliver when she says she will deliver. But you see an average tailor, they say they will deliver in 2 weeks' time, and when you call them,
3 months on, you are still trying to get your,
you know, they will ask you for more, you know, so they don't deliver. So those are the qualities, and we must be willing to wait, that success will not come immediately. If a lot of us youths go back to our life and think about our parents, some of us, when we were in primary school, secondary school, our parents, we didn't have AC in our houses. Some of us fetch water as children.
But now you see someone that is just 24 years old, he has AC, he has premium and social network, television network. You know, they have nice furniture in the house, he's driving good car. Even the car that your parents that has worked for 30 years cannot afford to buy, you want to buy it within 3 years. So we must know that Lexus will not expire, Mercedes-Benz will not expire, America will not expire. If you cannot go when you are 30 years old, you will go when you are 40. If you cannot go when you are 40, you will go when you are 50. So it doesn't matter. We have to have patience, you know, patience. And we must have empathy. We must also have empathy. When you are making money, show kindness to people. Be willing to help anybody you meet. The average person now, once they see that you have small value, they say, can I have your number, sir? And the next time they call you, I need a job. They start asking for favors. It disgusts me. Mm. You don't just meet people and you're asking them for favors.
What have you invested? What have you given?
When you do something for me first.
Yeah.
When you do something for me, then I'll be the one to ask you and say, okay, what can I do for you? But you see one youth now, if some people, if they meet Dangote now, their life cannot change. Because what they will even ask Dangote, he will never want to see them again.
Mm.
So we need to develop all those skills and cultivate it. And when we have it and we have good mentors, we are going to excel. We are going to go to the, we are going to get to the finish line by the grace of God.
Inshallah, bikudratullah. So I like the fact that all through your talk today, you kept on talking about education. However, we both know that there are sources of negative education out there. So how can we direct this youth to ensure that they are receiving the right education to empower them?
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. In ensuring that youth get the right education, you know, part of this problem is because a lot of parents have shirked from their responsibility of educating their children. Some parents believe that once you take your child to a madrasa, then you can leave that child for afar to train.
Hmm.
When you take your child to school, you don't need to teach that child anymore. Meanwhile, they've forgotten that the children have friends in school that also teach them bad things.
Mm.
So, forgotten that those schools might have some teachers that don't know what they are doing.
Mm.
You know, so we don't do what we are supposed to do. So, what I think we can do about that is we need to guide our children to a level whereby they know how to search for the right knowledge. Because apart from putting them in the school, we cannot monitor their life 100%. No matter how many screen time we do and whatever, they will still have access to some of all these things. But if you guide them on how to search for the proper knowledge,
they know when to not consume this information.
Yes, involved in their life. So once in a while, when they derail, you can easily pull them back and guide them and be involved. And as individuals too, we should be inquisitive too. We should look for, I know the kind of mentors I want to have. I know the kind of people I'm fashioning my life against. Read up on them. Try and follow their good habits. Avoid their negative habits. And always ask questions. Don't just follow something. If somebody tells you something, you can ask another person to follow up and say, okay, this is what I heard. Is it correct? Should I do this? Should I not do that? And I'm sure we'll be fine. But education starts from home. If education at the home is faulty, no matter how the child is educated outside, the child will not really find its balance.
Because at the end of the day, the child will take a few steps forward and take more steps backward,
exactly,
because the parents will be undoing whatever they've learned.
Exactly.
I agree with you, absolutely.
As parents, yes.
I do agree with you. All right, so I'd like us to help this youth. We've spoken about communal growth, community development, and all of that. How practical, you know, so let's give them practical steps. How Muslim youth contribute to the development of their local communities, and of course, you can't give what you don't have. So, how can they build themselves and then give back to their community, be a part of a community? What can they do? Practical steps that they can take.
Okay, so practical steps that they can take, you know, you can, the rule I like is that you can be influential where you are known. If you go somewhere and you are not really known, people might not embrace you. So, for example, if I'm living in Lagos now, let's assume for the sake of argument that I live in Banana Island now. If I go to Banana Island, the possibility of me influencing things in Banana Island is very limited because I didn't grow up in Banana Island. I'm a new person there. A lot of people have been living there for years and all that. So I will need to spend time before I can influence there. But if I see that I'm from Ejigbo local government and I say, okay, you know what, let me find time, maybe once a month or once in 2 months, I want to be going back home.
Mm.
When I go back home, when people hear Farouk Abbas, they will say, Abbas, is your father not Absalom Abbas? Oh, we know this family. We know about you. I have cousins in that place. So I can easily contribute. I can easily direct. I can easily influence. I can easily participate. So we need to go to places where we have influence and try and change. But if you go to a country where you don't have any influence or where you cannot, you will need time before you can do that. So the problem we have is that people want to be influential, but they are trying to dissipate their resources in the wrong places where you're not going to have any impact. If I go back to my hometown and I start doing it from there I will extend to another local government. From there, I will dominate the state. From there, I will dominate my region. From there, I can go national. And with the help of social media now, if I'm doing something in my local government and it's being
magnified
and projected, on the social level, mm-hmm. then I can have more influence, I can get more opportunities. I mean, I don't know the organizers of MPAC, I don't know the founders, I don't know anybody.
But we sought you out,
yes,
because
it was somebody that referred me. So I believe that it was maybe something I'd done, or someone that knew, that knows something about me, that recommended me. So we need to try and go to places. As a Muslim, go to a Muslim mosque, contribute them. If they are volunteering for programs, volunteer there. If you are in your office, when they have a conference or they are having a program they want to do, do it. If you are a lawyer, there is MBA. When they are planning conferences, they always need volunteers. Volunteer. If you are a parent, or a parent, your children's school, they might say we want parents to come. And like me, I've delivered papers in my children's school on numerous occasions. If they invite you, go there. So by giving a paper there, you will inspire a child. I mean, a president, Bill Clinton, said as a child, part of the reason why he wanted to become the president and governor of Texas was when he went in his primary school, they go on excursion to a governor's office. And when they got to that governor's office, the child will sit down on the governor's chair. And when he sat down on the governor's chair, he made up his mind that he would go into politics. Mm. He not only became the governor of Texas, he eventually became the president of America. And he started that same principle whereby children come to the White House, they sit down on the president's chair, and they take pictures. And that's why Lagos State government also came up with one-day governor, two-day governor. It's because he's from Bill Clinton. So some people, mere seeing Awolowo, some children, when they were in primary school and they saw Awolowo as a five-year-old, they say, I want to be a great person. And that inspires them. So if I go back to my hometown now, children can see me. They know my family. They know my name. They can say, ah, this guy is a lawyer. I also would like to be a lawyer. True. But if I go to Banana Island and I'm doing this thing, people will just say, what is this guy saying? Is he barking like a dog? I'm not going to make any impact there. So I go to my office. I go to my mosque. You have to start from a small circle. But the problem is that a lot of youths want to start from a big circle. Yeah. You just want to go national. You just want to go and do something big somewhere. You have to start small. Then when you start small, before you can now go up. And if you look at all those who have controlled world power, and even Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he started from Mecca, he went to Medina.
One person at a time.
Before Islam now spread. But now you don't see people now, they just want to take over Nigeria. They want to be a global celebrity. They want to be a global, this, you know, things that can be achieved within a short period of time. So that's what I think we need to do.
Oh, great. Let's go global now. In an increasingly interconnected world, it's been a struggle for me today, but alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
In an increasingly interconnected world, how can Muslim youth balance their global identity as part of the Ummah with maintaining strong ties with, you know, local cultural and community roots? So they want to play on the global stage, no problem, but how do they not lose their values, their own inherent cultural values? How do they not lose it whilst, you know, holding on to their global identity? How do they balance
basically? Yes, I mean, balancing, number one, you have to be confident in yourself. You have to be confident in your religion. There's this woman that was a former minister under Buhari, Amina something. I think she's in the United Nations or something.
Yes.
She wears a hijab. Okonjo-Iweala, anywhere she goes, she dressed like it. You can't mistake
an African
identity.
Yeah,
when she's talking, she's not trying to form any fake phonetics, way of speaking. She talks, you see her Igbos. Then even Vladimir Putin is speaking to you, you see his Russian accent. If Macron is speaking, you see his French accent. If Jews are speaking, you see their Jewish accent. It's only Nigeria that you see people, they are speaking and they are hiding all their Nigerianness, and they are forming fake accents that even the British themselves don't have.
You sound vexed. I wish people could see your face right now.
Of course I'm vexed, because we are losing our identity. We are not even proud of. So you see people, they go to America and they start speaking, somebody spends 1 to 2 years and you start speaking phonetic.
2 years, that's a long time. Just go for one holiday. Once in a holiday, I'm back with a new accent.
So your identity, your dressing, people should see your dressing and know that, okay, where are you from? It can even be a conversation enabler. You know, don't be proud of your religion. Be proud of your language. Be proud of whatever it is you are doing. And when you are good at what you are doing, nobody cares about what you look like, how you dress. Okonjo-Iweala is a WTO president. She's going unopposed as the second term president. Second term. She's a Nigerian. Though she also has American passport, but she's
a Nigerian.
Yes,
we know.
Yes, she grew up in Nigeria. So her identity must not be hidden. So if you are also a Muslim, be proud. Look at Mufti Menk. He's going all over the world. Even Christians listen to Mufti Menk.
True.
He's a Muslim. He doesn't hide the fact that he's a Muslim. People follow him on his social media. They like his posts. Christians love to listen to him. So they didn't say that he's a Muslim. It's because they can see value. They can see knowledge. So he's proud of his identity. And he's not losing his heritage. So we must continue to hold on to our Islam. Whatever it is we are doing, if you work in an office, tell them you want to go for prayer. Even if you go to some airports, they might not call it a mosque. They might call it a
meditation center, a meditation room,
you know. So be proud of, when you even say it, people even respect you more. So that means you have a value, you stand for something.
True.
But if you're hiding and you cannot project your religion and say, I want to appear woke, I want to appear touche. Look at America, for crying out loud. Donald Trump is against all those wokeness. And he still won. So you don't have to say you're supporting transgender, you're supporting this. He still won. So eventually you have to say what you are. You have to say, if
stand for something, yes, so you don't fall for everything.
People like Donald Trump can be proud of their philosophy, proud of their agenda. Who are you not to be proud of what you are, what you are carrying? We are carrying Islam, which is the number one message, you know, and we should be proud of it. Not that you'll be hiding somewhere. People, even people that are preaching transgender message, they're saying it boldly
with their full chest.
They're not hiding.
I would love to get this in before we are kicked out of the studio. What do you think should be the vision for the future of this Ummah over the next 10 to 20 years, and how can this Muslim youth play a vital role in landing us?
Okay, the vision for the Ummah, that's my favorite question. I like that so far, and I'll tell you why I like that question. You know, we're talking about youth, but youth don't exist in isolation. If we are saying there's a failure or our youth have a lot of deficiencies, we must also blame our elders. And that's the honest truth. So I think that our elders have more role to play. A lot of our elders are very selfish. They don't want to create opportunity for other people's children.
Because when they took the ladder up, but when they got there, they removed the ladder completely.
Yes, or they bring it down for their children or their spouses or their family members and all that, you know. So we need to have this expansive mindset that let me be willing to bring up other youths. If you bring up other youths, Allah will create people that will bring up your own children. So we need to consciously bring up other youths. That's number one. Number two is education. We need to propagate Islam in a way that is interesting and is appealing to the generation. Times are changing. You can't be using the way your father learned about the religion, where they will flog them, where they put them under the sun, to be teaching the children of nowadays. You know, we have to.
I'm not even interested in learning.
Do you understand? So we have
to get creative.
Yes, we have to adapt. Even Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was going to go and address Pharaoh, Allah told him that talk to him in a nice manner. It wasn't aggressive. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it wasn't aggressive. They had good character. They had appealing character. They enticed people to come to Islam. They warmed people to come to Islam. But now you can't be forcing children. You can't be using harsh techniques. We have to look for soft skills. And if we see those who are propagating Islam in a nice manner, where people are listening to the message, don't now start cutting them down and saying they are cutting their beards down. They are doing this one. They are doing that one. You, how many people have you brought into the fold? You can't be bringing down somebody that is bringing multiple Muslims to the fold, or making children go back to Islam. You are saying that because they are not doing this, then people should cancel them. You don't do that. Focus on preaching the message. So the leaders must look for a strategic means of making Islamic education interesting. A lot of children look forward to going to school because schools have changed. There's Montessori, there's fun learning, there's YouTube education. There are so many things they are bringing to entice these children. So our madrasas must also, our curriculum for Islamic education must also adapt with the changes. Our leaders must always bring people up. And economic power, if we want to be true to ourselves, the Muslims lack economic power in this country. The average Muslim, everybody, they don't have financial knowledge, they are poor, they don't have economic, they don't know how to manage money. Somebody does have small money, just make one small money, the next thing you are thinking about is how to go and marry a second wife, marry a third, even the first wife, you are not taking care of her very well. You are thinking of how you want to expand your family, you are not talking about to invest, how to empower more people. So economic power is lacking. So we need to consciously, we should declare a state of emergency in the finance, in the economic power, because whoever has economic power is who controls the world. Look at American election. The top businessmen were with President Donald Trump. They nominated his vice president for him. Elon Musk came out openly, unprecedented, and he backed him and he won the election. Even Kamala had a lot of financial power behind her. So if you don't have the financial power, you can't play in the big picture. So with all this grammar we are speaking and all these things we are speaking, if there's no economic power to back it up, we are not going to be able to influence. Because if you are influencing somebody and they are looking at you and they're not okay, or it's not like vote buying, they don't have food, you're not talking their ideology to them. They will collect 2,000 naira. A poor man that is hungry, that has not had breakfast today,
you're
not
telling them. Preach to him that, you know, that's your, so
we have to mentor the young people. Let's not limit our mentoring. And I'm also talking to myself, so you know, like I'm claiming that I mentor so many people, although I'm trying my best, but we have to expand beyond our nuclear family, because most of us are just saving money to send our children abroad, the expensive school, nice car, you know, those are basic things that, you know, we shouldn't be focusing on. And we should bring people up, and we should also create wealth for the Ummah. We should create wealth. Not that when we go to the mosque and we are donating money on Friday, I always look at what people are donating. I consciously, since I've been a child,
even the monetary spirit,
20 years, I derive joy in looking at it. When I see some people squeezing their money, their hand, I'm like, why are you squeezing your hand? Look at your
wedding. Because it's 100 naira.
You're not squeezing your hand to put something in. Like, you should be ashamed of yourself. Why should you do that? How much do you want to drop there? If it's 2,000, at least still drop it. But you squeeze your hand, you now bring 200 naira, you know, and you are wearing a nice cloth of, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me, you know. So I see, so we need to change certain things. Mosque should not be collecting 1,000. 5,000, 500, 300. It shouldn't be like that. You should transfer money. If it's 10,000 or 5,000, you want to transfer it monthly, transfer it. So we need to change our mindset and we have to create economic power. It's very important. At the grassroots level, the economic power is not there. We don't focus on education. We don't invest. If we go to the area, but if we go to the garage now and count Okada riders and count them,
you'll be there.
Abdullahi, those are the names you are going to be in.
Right.
Taxi drivers and conductor, those are the names you are going to be in. So we just have, we say Islam does not say we should do family planning, we should have so many children, but we are not taking care of our children. If you can only take care of four children that you present, take care of four children. Don't have 10 children when you don't have the time to cater for 10 children. So we need to continue to enlighten ourselves and focus our priorities on this concept.
So what I hear you say loud and clear, economic empowerment is our vision for the next.
Without economic empowerment, we can't play the game. We need to have the resources.
I totally agree with you, Barrister Farouk, and I wish we can carry on the conversation, but we can carry on the conversation. Join us on our social media platforms and let's carry on this conversation, because we must achieve that vision in 20 years' time, that economic empowerment. That's how far we can go on the show today. It's been a brilliant time. So sorry to all those that tried to call in and the network didn't perform. I would go and visit them myself. But anyways, thank you so much for being a part of today's show. Join us same time next week when we bring you another beautiful package. I sincerely apologize for my croaky voice. Please forgive me. Next time will be a better one. All right, have a beautiful week ahead, inshallah. So I leave you in the hands of Zain Bika. Listen to the lyrics of this song. There's something to learn from it. Bye for now.
Thank you for having me.
Slowly, slow my chair. The world waits for you. And your window of time will come shining through. Slowly, slow, don't rush, you know. It'll all come easy. There's some things you can't take back. No regrets for what you're gonna get. Need some thinking down the line. Slowly, slow, my darling. I'm here for you. And every stumble, every fall breaks my heart in two. I only want the best for you. And every step makes up the man, even though it takes a while. And God will always smile on you, my child. So have faith. Feels the sun and sings before the dawn has come. Have faith, have faith. Yeah, yeah. Slowly, slow, my boy. I see you strong. And everybody wants to find a place where they belong. But don't you find yourself someday in a cold and dark and lonely place, and you wonder how you got there. Slowly, slow, my child. The world waits for you. And your window of time will come shining through. Slowly, slow, don't rush, you know. It'll all come easy. There's some things you can't take back. No regrets for what you're gonna get. Need some thinking down the line. Slowly, slow, my darling. I'm here for you.
Here for you.
And every stumble, every fall breaks my heart in two. I only want the best for you. And every step makes up the man, even though it takes a while. And God will always smile on you, my child. So have faith.